practicing your piano?
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm tuning my own horn, but it's beautiful.
You're tickling your own ivory.
I am. In this case, I am.
That'll get you in trouble.
It has in the past.
You look like Schroeder, and now you sound like Schroeder.
That's my full Schroeder conversion.
Good job.
Start out looking like him and dressing like him, and then eventually become him. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Those are the basics. Want to call us? You can. 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. Share your life with us, please.
All right.
Hi.
Not me, but I would love to
The people
share.
Are in listener land. That's
I'd like
I'm
to hear about them. Are you going to Lala?
You know, I'm not. My daughter is. She drove in. Kylie drove in with me today, and we were talking about the idea. She's very excited. She's been to, this will be her third one. She's very, very excited, and she's going with a friend of hers. And we were talking about the fact that there will be snipers there.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. Yes. So, much like me, she was both for it and afraid of it at the same time. You know, I understand that because things are what they are now, this is a precautionary measure that probably needs to be taken should something go wrong. Let's say, hypothetically, and this is a dark hypothetical, but let's say something went wrong, people would say, well, why didn't the city do anything to protect the people there? They knew that it was a big crowd. They knew that the circumstances were right. You got to do something to prevent this sort of thing.
And but because of Las Vegas, that's what's...
Well, definitely because of Las Vegas. No doubt about it. But on the other hand, you like to think that the world is a more decent, civilized place where this sort of thing doesn't need to be done, but you'd be kidding yourself, you know? So I'm for it. I like the fact that the city's put, and I don't know, have they officially said that they're doing it, or is this just something that's being whispered about?
No, I think
they confirm it. They've got snipers in place should something go awry. Well, I guess I'm for it. It just, I don't know. It just shows where we are right now. That
it's
an event
become
like
the
this,
new norm.
Yeah. I know.
Boy, what a difference our kids are, because your kid, one of your daughters, Reese, isn't going to Lala.
No.
My kids want to go see the Turtles Happy Together tour with Flo and Eddie.
Oh, wow.
What is the difference between us?
I'm being
us?
Told there will be no snipers at that particular show.
No dose?
I thought the snipers were a band playing at Lollapalooza. Kyla goes, the snipers are going to be there. I go, I like the early stuff.
Well, I think we should refer to them as tactical police officers.
Police officers.
And
that's right.
They will be monitoring rooftops and things like that as part of the security.
Right. But Steve, where do you stand on this? You kind of have to do it to some extent, don't you? Kind of.
Yeah. You know, I have to be honest with you. I don't like security stories because I just don't.
They shouldn't be publicized.
Because it's not just that, but it's like this pre-fear thing, and it's an easy story to do, like, oh, security's beefed up for the Macy's parade or security, you know. Well, good, it should be. That's what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, I don't know what we're learning there.
But I think what they're doing by sending that message out is saying to people, the people who are in and around any event, you're going to be protected as much as we can. Right?
Yeah, I know.
We're
but
doing our part.
It's really just kind of, if you pay attention to it, it's kind of a way to do a story about an event that's
kind of
easy. You know?
I know.
Security's going to be beefed up during the protest on Lakeshore Drive tonight. Well, of course it is. There's a protest on Lakeshore Drive.
Right, right.
A lot going on today.
Did they purposely pick today, Steve?
I think so, yes.
They did because of Lollapalooza.
No, because tickets were available at the game.
Yeah, the Cubs game.
Oh, is that
No. Oh. I'm just kidding. But it had to do with Lollapalooza and the Cubs game.
So they kind of they maximize.
It's a big impact. It would have a big impact day. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. And then the spillover is if you clog up Lakeshore Drive, all of the other arteries, like any alternative routes, will also to some extent be messed up, right?
Presumably people will avoid the drive and then get on the Kennedy, which is why I've got to go now. I'm leaving.
leaving work now.
And CTA has to reroute everything. You know, they're doing a lot of reroutes on Lakeshore Drive at 4.
Right.
So it's just
Do you
crazy.
Think there'll be any protesting around the Paramount Theater in Aurora for the Turtles?
Wendy, if I had to put $20 down, I think you'll be safe.
Except for the hares. They'll be bothered
right.
by it.
They always are.
Chuck Negron, the singer with Three Dog Night, is going to be there. Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders. Gary Puckett.
So you're seeing the 70s version of what I saw at Ravinia Sunday was the 80s version.
This is 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
Because you got Gary Puckett in the Union Gap. and the Cow Sills.
Oh, the Cow Sills will be there? That's the band that's that the Partridge Family is based on, right? The Cow Sills.
Yeah, the Gimme a Head with Hair. That's a great song. I love that song.
So their deal was almost identical to the Partridges. Was their I can't remember.
But they were real musicians.
They were, right. But was their mom in the band, or was it just the kids from the Cow Sills? I don't remember.
I don't know. Ever since you laughed at me that I did an open mic night with my son, I don't talk to you about that anymore.
Right. I did do that. But I would do it again.
Whatever. You're so perfect. Your whole life's perfect. Little Bill left.
I can't help that. You always hold that against me.
It's not perfect.
It's pretty close.
You're a liar.
Except for the lying, it's a perfect life.
But honestly, on a daily basis, if we had to list our problems, your list would be 1,000 times longer than mine would be.
Yeah, but again, I would like to talk to your wife, Terry, about this.
What a terrible thing to say to someone.
It's true.
That's Bill. Bill, you know, has this evil inside that is coming out.
But I'm telling you, that's your oxygen. You couldn't deal. If you didn't have problems, you would fade away. You need it to breathe.
Well, it's
when
not
there
necessarily
aren't problems, you look for problems.
No, but you do sort of, like, for example, are you worried about where you're going to park for the concert tonight?
No, it's not till August 17th.
Oh, I thought it was tonight. Okay.
So you won't start worrying about that till probably Saturday.
No, because there's a parking lot.
Yeah, but they might be under construction.
And no, I do worry about things before they happen.
But
it's not
too,
just
Wendy,
my kids or my family.
No, it's everything.
Life.
I know.
But you're right. I mean, without that, I'd be pretty boring.
But you always
Bill.
You always get upset about that. Like, you'll list a bunch of problems and go, how about you? And I'll go, no, everything's good. And then you just stare at me. Everything's good. I'm sorry. Everything's good. It's not my fault. This is what I'm, you're a good person, but not really. My goal all along was to live this kind of life where things are good, and you just
things are great. I need to get riled. That's just how I operate.
So
even if there's unrilable events, I find something to.
Well, that's the point. So you could also argue that things are great for you, Wendy. You're just not looking at those things.
They're totally
great. You look at them differently, yeah.
But you're not worried, Wendy. You're concerned. It's a concern. I'm the same way.
Can I just tell you something? I'm more honest.
Yeah, because other people are just,
I am, and
everything's happy.
Not that
happy,
that's
happy.
A good thing, because again, when somebody goes, "How are you?" they're just saying it as a hello salutation.
It's a bridge.
They don't really want to hear how I am,
right?
And
right.
That's where my problem
you
is.
You make it the bridge over the River Kwai.
I
yet
do.
You make continue it to tell us
over troubled water.
yes, because sometimes, like I've seen people that we work with, like they'll ask you that, and then you'll tell them, and then 45 minutes later, they'll go, "Whoa." I did not see that coming.
But then they feel better about their life.
Yes.
That's why I'm here, Mary. Honestly, that's what my purpose is in life, to make everyone else feel better about their own lives.
You're a giver.
I am the one-man Jerry Springer show. That's why everybody watched Jerry Springer to go, I don't have it so bad.
I think that's part of it.
All right, then.
I do.
We got that settled.
Part of it.
Let's have a great day.
Who's the Steve Wilco in this scenario?
Jimmy Mack?
Yeah, he would be.
He's my security.
That's the guy who was like his bodyguard. He was the guy, if you watched Jerry Springer, if two people were fighting. Remember the episode where two people fought on Jerry Springer?
I do remember that one.
It's a rare episode. You hardly ever see it in the syndication package. But he was like the big bruiser guy that would come and separate them. He'd tear them away from each other. And then somebody went, well, we should give that guy his own show. He had his own show.
I know. But he wasn't he a former cop, too?
I
think he
was.
Was
he a cop?
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah. But who watched him tear people off of each other and went, that we have to give him a show?
You
that
know what's guy. Weird, though? He let him go a little bit.
Yeah, he would let him
fight. He did.
Yeah, because that's what sold tickets to the circus.
I don't like to see that. I don't like to see people fighting. I have had nightmares about that McDonald's fight. I really have.
Oh, the lady who worked behind the counter at McDonald's who wailed on the lady who took free pop?
That was terrible. That upsets me. See, my life is good.
I'm shocked neither of those people has been offered a talk show.
I am too.
Why don't they get a show?
I agree with you.
That'll happen eventually. Before the season is over, one or both of them will have a show.
We're happy together, Bill.
You may hear that at the concert.
I will.
At your Turtles concert.
All right. You know what? We have to take a break. We have an action-packed show today. Dean Richards is live in action from Lollapalooza, and it was pretty interesting to listen to him on Steve's show, because nothing was happening yet.
It's not open yet.
What time do the doors open? I would imagine 11?
It's 11.
It's 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock, yeah.
Oh, so it's going to be a full-blown Dean report.
But the music doesn't start for a while, right? The music's still a ways away.
I don't know. Don't you think the Snipers will kick things off at 11?
That's the opening band, yeah. They'll play some of their hits, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
All right, and I believe we also have a giveaway. That means White Sox tickets, Bill. A family four-pack of tickets to see the Chicago White Sox versus the New York Yankees on Wednesday, August 8th. It's a 7-10 game. You just keep listening for that sounder like we just played. When you hear it, it is your cue to call in to win seats to the Sox all regular season long. A four-pack of tickets, what caller?
Caller 8.
312-981-7200. Does that sound good with everyone?
Please.
Caller 8, going to the White Sox game at 720 WGN. All right, we're supposed to be talking about some student-made documentaries. We have some guests in the studio, but the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yeah, one of our guests, Steve Douglas, has the same name. This is not the reason you're here, Steve, although I would book you just for this alone. You have the same first and last name as Fred McMurray's character from My Three Sons, and I pointed that out to you, and you said there were two other series from around that time where Douglas was the last name, the family name. Green Acres is one, Oliver Douglas.
Oliver. Albert.
Very nice. That was Wendy's Ivanka Trump impression. And I'm stuck on the last one, and it's driving me crazy.
Well, good luck. I'm not going
to
give it to you.
You won't
so
give it to
I'm
me
sure
good.
Somebody's
okay.
going to call and hook you guys up.
Man.
But yeah.
Oh, my
no,
God. Wait, someone has stumped Bill Leff? Your life is not so perfect anymore, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. I will not rest until I get it.
You'll get it, I'm sure.
Sam Westman is also here. He does not have the name, first or last, of anybody from TV's history, and yet we'll still talk to you.
But it is. I am operating under a pseudonym today.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay. That's better. Antifa.
His real name, John Wayne.
Antifa, who only has one name. What happened?
Yes, I don't know. It's just stuck. No, that's just, you know, name I go by.
That's cool. Excellent. That's yeah. Excellent. You're here to talk about Chicago Summer Stories. Let's get right to the root of it. What exactly is Chicago Summer Stories?
Yeah, it's a really unique opportunity that we've been able to do with Apple, where we've brought 12 students from the suburbs and CPS together to be able to create documentaries around things that really matter in Chicago to them. And so they picked Generation Z, their own generation. So 15 to 25 year olds is kind of what we designated with it, kind of figuring out what is it that they care about most and what's really kind of separated them from the previous generations.
Yeah.
All right. Forgive me for not knowing this, but this is Generation Z. That's what's going on right now. Am I late to the party? Is that truly what, you know, there were baby boomers, there were Gen X?
Yeah.
The millennials.
Tweeners.
So trying to separate themselves from millennials is really what this is about.
Right.
Because they don't want to be thrown under that bus.
So what categorizes somebody who is Generation Z? What are the qualifications?
Basically, your age 15 to 25 years old.
Yeah. I have two Generation Zs then.
Excellent.
Good luck. No, I'm joking.
But what is the difference between Generation Zs and millennials and who was Gen X? I mean, it's a different breed of kid now, isn't it?
Well, definitely. That's what they're doing in the documentary is defining what makes them unique and different and stand out and how they approach life and the challenges that they see around them. So I would say come out to our screening.
Absolutely.
August 9th and see.
The Apple Store.
Yes.
At the Apple Store, Michigan Ave, 6:30.
Cool,
it's
going to
be really, really
right
cool.
Down the road a piece.
The kids have interviewed 20-plus folks, influencers in Chicago, to tell the story of innovation, activism, and kind of art, music, and kind of the collaboration within that social community and how that's kind of given rise to a lot of different voices in Chicago.
Do me a favor. Go back to a word you just used, influencers, because that's a fairly new concept.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does an influencer mean?
Great question. And I would say asking the kids what they would say is somebody who spans everything from taking things in social media. In fact, I talked to a student earlier today, and they said, you know what? What are they about? And they're like, you know what? They've really made their way in social media. I'm like, okay, but like, what do they do?
Yeah.
No, they do social media.
That's
really?
It.
Like, what does that mean?
That's
exactly?
All you need
it's a
to
job
do.
Now.
It is. And so they're like, well, she takes different beats from other people and then kind of raps over them. This is Nia K here in Chicago. And she just kills it. She's got a million followers.
And
you're like,
it.
Wow. a million followers just doing that.
What's interesting about all that is they this generation actually has the tools and opportunity to tell their story in a way that our generations and previous never did. The tools are so there where they can just grab whatever they have on a microphone and an iPhone. They shot all of these things on iPhones.
Unreal.
So they shot all the documentaries with stuff they could have in their pocket. Like I have this little boom pole and he has the rig over there and it's like nothing and you can make a 4K movie. Whereas with us, we thought that that was impossible. And so they just have a direct source to an audience, and it's fascinating.
And that's a good thing, and it's a bad thing. We were talking about this. We've talked about it many times. We are lucky enough to be on the radio, so we're able to tell our story. Prior to Facebook, people couldn't speak out and tell their story. Completely different time right now. And quite honestly, there are some stories we don't need to hear.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And it's the benefit and the problem. But I think maybe what's going to happen is once we actually hear everybody's story, we'll start to learn a little bit of discernment. And that's the idea. And also, we'll probably all get better at telling our stories the more that we have the opportunity to do so.
Sam, how do filmmakers and documentarians of a generation or so ago feel about the new technologies? Are they jealous of it? Do they say, oh, man, if I had all this at my fingertips, I would have made so much more stuff, better stuff?
I think it depends more on the individual. Like, I made a documentary. I got paid to make a documentary in SD, which is like 1/20th of what the 4K iPhone in your pocket has.
Standard definition, is that what that is?
But the thing of it is I got paid to do that then, and I can get paid to do this now. And I think really the thing that everybody should realize is that the technology is still there. Where do you as an individual bring value to it? And that is the thing, and your expertise and ability to tell a story is the thing that can't be taught. And I think the technology just opens up more doors because, like, I run a company where, like, there's more video jobs and more jobs in the creative arts around the country and around the world than there ever have been in the past. So the reality is when I was coming in, I could only work in New York or Los Angeles in the film industry. Now I can work anywhere in the world. And I think that's interesting.
That is interesting. And radio has changed, too, going from analog and editing with splicing tape and a block and a razor blade.
Yep.
And now everything's digital.
So, and going to podcasts and people have opportunity, but there's so much noise out there. So how do you differentiate that? It's the storytelling. And so that's really what we focused on with the kids is how can you tell your story to your specific audience and really make them connect, resonate, think, laugh, cry, whatever it is that you're trying to. That's the real art in this, and it's an iterative element. So we've taken them through multiple different times and lots of different interviews to kind of teach them by doing. And so it's been a really experiential time, and it's been a lot of fun watching them.
And you
mentioned
earlier, too, protest, music. Look what today is bringing us. You have Lollapalooza kicking off.
Yeah.
You have this protest march on Lakeshore Drive.
Yep.
This is what's happening now, and these kids are covering this.
It's real time, right? And you can go out with your iPhone or smartphone and just document this. And you have an opportunity to be able to share that story that, unlike previous generations, they could.
Amazing.
I think what's coming up now is the technology is forcing people to be authentic in a way that they haven't had to before.
Yeah.
And the people who have the most authenticity are the ones who are rising.
Yeah. All right, we will discuss this further. Steve Douglas is here. Sam Westman is here. And Tifa is here. If you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
Bill, I am. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. And I am shocked as heck that you can concentrate on this interview.
Yeah.
Boy,
I
everybody
am too.
Just reached for their phone when that went off.
All right. One of our guests, Steve Douglas, as I pointed out at the beginning of the interview, has the same name as Steve Douglas from My Three Sons. And I pointed that out to him. You know, we were bonding, Wendy. He was excited. I was excited. So then he said there were two other series back then in the 60s. In the 60s or 70s, did he say? That Douglas was also the surname. I got one right away. That's Green Acres. Oliver Douglas.
Yep.
He had the same name. But I cannot get the third one, and it is driving me crazy.
I like to see this, quite honestly. I love to see you squirm.
I'll get it.
We're talking about what I thought was just a documentary, but three documentaries all put together, Chicago Summer Stories. Steve Douglas, I'm not going to go into the whole connection. Yeah, whatever.
Can I give you a hint? Do you want a hint?
Yeah, give me a hint.
There is a connection to a patriarch within the name of the sitcom. All right, keep going.
All right.
Director of Chicago Summer Stories, teacher of new media at Lake Forest High School, Sam Westman, co-director of Chicago Summer Stories, and also Tifa is with us. And Tifa, correct?
Yeah,
okay. And you're a teacher?
Yeah.
I didn't know that we got into what you do.
Yes, I'm an educator at CPS.
What you mentioned that I find interesting is you have suburban kids and Chicago kids getting together. That's awesome in itself.
It definitely is, because they come from very different background. They come from very different backgrounds, and you know, they have to work together in a team. And I think that their experiences are different, and they're forced to kind of collaborate. And it's important that each of them tell the stories that they want to tell authentically, you know, unbiased, not just from their perspective, but from the truth of the person that they're talking to. So it's very interesting to watch them go through the process and be creative and, you know, learn to communicate with each other, especially with something that you're so passionate about.
And like, so different.
Very passionate about it.
I mean, when you listen to someone else's story and they have kind of the same goal but a different way of getting there, mm-hmm. isn't that when you realize we're all the same?
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Now, that has been really fun to see. So we start them off with a 48-hour kind of challenge to kind of go tell whatever story you wanted to under 2 minutes. And so you get to really see what they're interested in and where they're really strong, but then also kind of where they could grow. And that was where we kind of sat together and mm-hmm. built these groups very strategically for that, to figure out how can we develop that kind of bond, but then mm-hmm. also challenge, and who's going to be able to push who. And so it's been really fun to be able to see their growth.
I know it's too early to determine this yet, but do you see a future for any or some of these kids going, we love this experience, we really
Absolutely.
Want to continue? Good.
I'll say, with the group that I've worked with directly, I've had to take them around, you know, to meet different influencers in and throughout the city, and they're already creating projects on their own on the side to build relationships and, you know, just to hone their craft and learn more and just create more and produce more outside of what they're already doing within the program. And
yeah.
then you see them applying what they're learning within the program.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's no telling where they will end up, especially with the access, you know, through the technology, because it's all at their fingertips
sure.
these days. You don't need a huge rig. You know, they're nice, but it's also easier to move around when you're talking about being able to shoot this high quality video on an actual iPhone.
And one of the biggest benefits is the collaborative effort. Nobody can do one of these on their own, or maybe you could, but you really benefit from having so many people work on it, and that's an invaluable skill, isn't
Priceless.
It?
You know what? One of the cool stories about that, Apple connected us with Juice WRLD, who's an artist from the South Side who's 19, and they were promoting him and at the Concord Theater. And so, through the connections with Apple Music, they gave the kids all access. And so they were there shooting with the iPhone, like in the pit, and they
yeah.
were shooting the whole entire thing. And one of the kids was like, hey, do you think I can get on stage? I'm like, oh, you know, some 16-year-old, like, don't ask that question. And of course, they were like, yeah, let's figure it out. And I was like, okay. And so here he was, literally on stage at this concert with all of his peers, like, in the audience. And there he is, like, shooting this thing. And then he just walked backstage because he owned the place. And then he got an interview with the artist. It was just, like, stuff
Excellent.
That we never would even dream to
sure.
do. They were like, let's do it. And that
wow.
was incredible. And then they put this whole thing together, and it was just like,
this is really awesome.
In a week, literally, they put that together
yeah.
and sent it to Apple, and they were like, wait, who produced this? Like,
really?
What's going on? I mean, it's really incredible
yeah.
stuff.
And, you know, I have two teenage boys, and, you know, we always criticize them. You're spending too much time
yeah.
with technology. But this is taking something that they're into and making it productive. Isn't that a great way to utilize what's going on right now?
You know, that makes me think about my classroom. I teach broadcast tech for CPS, and you know, throughout most schools within CPS, it's the no phones in school rule, because it is a distraction, and it can be if it's not used properly. And I think about those lessons where I'm like, okay, you can use your phone. Phones out. We're shooting, we're taking, you know, I want to see what you can go grab. We're going to do a scavenger hunt, you know, with your phones, learn to work the camera, learn to upload, import the footage, and, you know, do what you can with it. So I think that it's just about giving them the right direction with the technology, and it's going to bring them that much closer to learning, that much more excited about what they can do with it and what they actually can accomplish and turn into a career.
Yep.
And making a movie teaches you project management. So,
Absolutely.
Like, you've got to go book the place, you got to book the guests, make sure all this happens on time, you got to manage a crew, you got to put all of these pieces together and assemble it back, and then if you don't bring it in right, or you did mm-hmm. something wrong, you don't get a do-over from that
mm-hmm.
day. So it teaches you to be present and accountable for what's going on, and to create and finish a project that you're going to show to somebody. So there is a degree of self-esteem involved in the finished product, which means that you have to develop a work ethic if you want to turn something out.
Absolutely.
When I went to film school, we all wanted to be Scorsese or Spielberg.
Yep.
Quentin Tarantino was just coming up. Do these kids look at those directors as their heroes, or are they looking at people using similar platforms as their
Absolutely
heroes?
Absolutely not.
YouTube stars. Is that what they're looking at?
Yes. Are they? Those are their, you know, mentors. That's who they look up to. Like, and really, I look at the, just a lot of the traditional, what do I want to say, composition techniques and things like that that we use.
Yeah.
They're so left of that. You know, they're really about being creative, being out the box, and being totally different, you know, with what they create.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely don't.
You know, you mentioned self-esteem, Sam, when you were talking about when the final product is there. Isn't that what feeds kids today anyway, is their self-esteem and being accepted by others?
Well, it's a way for them to be able to connect with a broader audience, right? And to be able to get authentic feedback with that. There's definitely some issues with trolls and YouTube, and there's other elements of that. But if you take that concept you were talking about before, of taking them from consuming to creating, that then kicks in all the intrinsic motivation that Tifa's talking about, and really gets them to think beyond just, oh, I'm on Snapchat, I'm just consuming. And it's what's really cool about this is we've seen that kind of iteration happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what this goal is really to show that people can use those phones, and they don't have to be thrown away. Mm-hmm. They can use those,
for
what
good,
they're using
not
all
for
the
evil.
Time for constructive use.
Right.
And to be able to reflect. And so we're also having them go through a whole reflection process where they're capturing and documenting their own story to be able to then communicate to college about this program, to communicate about their career,
right,
to be able to capture these things. And that's really where we're going with all of this, is the next level, is for them to be able to get to that reflective mindset, which they all are as a generation, but giving them that structure and that process and mentorship, that's what we're doing here.
What do they have to do to realize that a 2-minute piece is fantastic, but a feature length, a 90-minute, isn't that big of a jump? I mean, it is, but at the same time,
it's
isn't, right?
It's the core concepts. It's all the same when you boil it down. If you can do a 2-minute piece really, really well, you just need more time to do a 90-minute piece.
Yeah.
But what a lot of this stuff teaches them is basically if you can communicate through video, it's really no different than a blog if you think about it. And in fact, you can reach a lot more people, because if you think about the moving image and as a piece of video, how that crosses language barriers, if you can communicate effectively through video, you can communicate with anyone in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing that we should keep in mind, is we're used to writing and doing all these blogs and things, but the amount of people you can reach through properly told and created video is staggering.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you the coolest teachers in your kids' eyes everywhere?
Because I'm not.
I just want to piggyback what Sam said too. And there's definitely a pre-production process that we go through with them. Ideation process, where they're getting their ideas out, they're writing them down, they're listening to each other. For a lot of them, it's kind of starting at the end and identifying what's the message, what's the emotion that people need to feel, and when, and how do we, what's the best way to communicate that visually, you know. So there's a literacy component too, because they have to be able to not only articulate verbally with the people within their group, but they have to be able to write that those thoughts down and then turn them into visuals.
And one of the coolest part, real quick, is when we then give feedback as well. So then they have to receive as well as give feedback to everybody else. So you have to be open-handed, constructive. I mean, that's when it gets real. Because that's when it's like, okay, all right, you know, are you going to take that? Are you going to get better? Or are you going to take it and run in the corner?
That's when you get better.
That's
when
you take
criticism and use it to your advantage.
And you get a thicker skin. And, you know, because when you put your work out there into the world, people are going to think things about it no matter what. You might as well get the in-person feedback of your peers to teach you to, like, get a sense of empathy when you get out into the world, as you just throw your stuff out there.
Yeah. August 9th is the night you can see this, Chicago Summer Stories. It's at the Apple Store on Michigan Avenue. It's a 6:30 start. People can still get tickets. Tickets are still available.
It's free to come.
It's
free. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we encourage folks to come in. Yeah, it's a 23-foot, 5K, 6K screen. So it's going to be fun.
Enormous.
And if we can't make it, is there a place we can see this later on?
Yep. So there's going to be a link, I believe you guys are going to post, where you can see the videos afterwards through Apple's site. So we're super excited about this. It's just the beginning. This is the first year we've done it, and we hope to continue this going forward.
Tifa, thank you for being here. Sam, thank you for being here. Steve, I give up. What is the third?
Father knows best.
Oh.
No, their last name wasn't Douglas.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
This is
where it's just good. About
okay.
to get
All right, to the phone
Douglas
we go.
Nice. Here we go.
What was it?
Anderson.
Wow.
I was Anderson. I think Anderson's right.
Steve, if you're not challenged, you're not learning anything.
Or you fail quickly. Or I just fail quickly. One of the two. So we're demonstrating
what
we're
talking
about.
See, this criticism only makes you stronger and better,
That's
Steve.
It, right? That's,
you'll be a better person for it. All right, we'll take a quick break.
You know what? I'm kind of glad you're wrong, Steve, because all my money's on Bill all the time.
That's smart. That's a smart play.
Thanks, guys. I still want people to come to the event. I would never hold it. I would never hold this over your heads. We'll take a quick
break. Yes, you will. The rest of the day.
That's okay.
And then more shows. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. In about a half an hour, Dean Richards will join us. He is live at Lollapalooza. And the fun of this is that Lollapalooza has not started or opened yet.
Yeah, the gates just opened at
11. Are they opening them now?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think the first group's at like 1:15 or something like that.
So what do you do? Stake out your seat?
Oh, I
between
guess
now
so.
And one?
Bury your liquor. Oop. Yeah. I didn't say that.
Some people have done that, though.
It has happened.
Yep. Well, they are searching you big time, so it's not like you can strap a flask to you.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big search this time. Can't bring anything in, any liquids in at all.
But, Mary, in the past, for people who don't know, they have gone to the grounds a day or two early and buried things underground, and then when they come on show day, they unearth them and enjoy them during the show, right?
That's when you could climb over the fences. I don't think you can really do that
not
anymore.
No.
It's
and I would
tough.
Just walk around digging up things because then I wouldn't have to worry about it. Like, oh, there's a bottle of vodka.
It's got to be something somewhere.
Empty bottle and then fill it at the water station.
Do you think anyone's going to go through the trouble of coming in a wheelchair with an IV drip and it'll just be...
Oh, that's ingenious.
Thank
that's
you very one. Much.
Wow. Have you tried that or thought
no,
about that? That's ingenious.
Or a catheter.
All right, that's...
right. That's an extra mile.
Mary cracked herself up on that one.
You know what I saw last night that I found fascinating? I was watching the Cubs and the Pirates play, and then during one of the commercial breaks, they showed a commercial for a segment that's coming up, I think, on the WGN TV news tonight. I'm almost positive. And here's what it entails. And tell me what you think about this. They show this building that they're currently building here in Chicago, and I'm looking at our skyline to see if I can find it. And my guess is, and I don't know which building it is, Wendy, but see that tan building that's really high up where I'm pointing?
Yes.
That's kind of still being built. If you look up toward the top, you can see they're still working on it. I think that's the building that they're focusing on for this report. So they're saying that they're building one of Chicago's newest skyliners, and it's one of the highest and one of the biggest and everything. So they got one of the reporters, I think Julie Unruh, I think, to go up to the top of it.
Oh, boy.
And as you get up toward the top, they show this elevator that's not really an elevator like we know. Like an elevator that we know is you get in and the doors close and you don't see anything around you. You're whisked up to whatever floor you press.
Is this a beam that just goes?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just... It's exactly what you just said.
No.
It's a floor platform, and then there's a couple of beams on the side, and it goes up to the very top. And of
course, your voice is quivering already.
I was holding on to the chair while I was watching it last night, and I don't know. I think it's Julie Unruh. I think is the reporter for Channel 9 who does this. I don't know if she has any issues with heights at all. I don't know how she was chosen for this assignment. But there's no way in the world I could have done that. Not a chance.
You could barely watch it.
I was having a hard time watching it because you put yourself in her shoes and you go, boy, did you draw the lowest straw? How did you get chosen for this?
Some people like to have that excitement, adventure.
There's nothing.
Are you okay?
Like here in our, we're on the 18th floor.
Still pretty high.
It's still kind of high. And every once in a while, somebody go, oh, look down, look at what's going on over there. And I'll quickly approach the window. But I know in a worst case scenario, I can hold my hand out and block anything. When you're up there, there's nothing to block you.
And we have double windows here. There's like probably, what would you say, almost a foot difference between the first pane of glass and the second one.
Right.
So it's not so bad. If we walked out to that major pane of glass,
I couldn't
look down.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Yeah, that's pretty
scary.
So
do you have, and I don't know who to ask this of, but if they're divvying up assignments and they go, hey, let's do this story, and then we got this building story, we'll throw somebody up on the top floor of a new skyscraper. If you're her, do you have the right to go, hey, I'm not doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can't make you do something that you're deathly afraid of.
I hope not.
Don't worry about Julie Unruh. She wouldn't do it if she didn't want to. And she survived because the pieces...
Right. They wouldn't show it if she fell. There's no way they would show it. Hey, as Julie proves, you shouldn't go to the top of a skyscraper while it's being built. Watch this. They wouldn't do that to her. She's a trusted member of the WGN family.
Who gets that and who gets Lollapalooza? Why didn't they make Dean do the thing?
Dean buzzed in like it was Jeopardy there in the WGN assignment room. I take Lollapalooza. I'm staying on the ground. I'm not going to the top.
Speaking of Lollapalooza, Mary will keep you abreast of all the road closures, and there is extra security. You cannot bring in a backpack, and I find that shocking. I mean, it's not even about them checking it. You cannot, no more than one singular pocket or opening. Backpacks and bags with multiple pockets are prohibited.
Mm.
I mean, this is an all-day event.
Mm-hmm.
You need a backpack.
Mm-hmm. And I think they said this year you can't bring in your own water or stuff. And
yeah,
they keep warning you that dehydration is a very big possibility. So is that just a ruse to get you to buy more bottled water once you're inside?
Well, they have water stations.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so you can fill up.
Oh, okay.
Hydration packs are allowed. I don't even know what that is, but must be emptied of all liquid and have no more than two pockets in addition to the one holding the water reservoir. Am I the only one who doesn't know what a hydration pack is? Oh, you said you didn't
either.
I'm
not sure what it is.
Other items that are not allowed in Lollapalooza, no cigarettes, e-cigs, or vaping devices. And it's because of the Chicago Parks Department policy.
Yeah.
There might be cranky people if they're not getting to vape.
Right. Right.
And
a lot of these kids do it on an hourly basis. You take it away for a full day, that's not going to be pretty.
Aerosol containers, including sunscreen.
Wait, I can't bring in my Alberto VO5?
No, leave it at the office.
I'm not going then.
Any and all professional audio recording equipment, but they're going to allow your phones. But
oh,
who
right.
has the space?
Right.
Who has the space to make tons of videos? I got to empty my phone out.
And it'll be harder because everybody's trying to use cell storage space at the same time. So,
well, they don't share storage space.
No, but they're...
Cell towers?
Yeah.
A signal?
Yeah.
It's not a universal iCloud where everybody's stuff goes there.
I don't think any calls are coming in or out, Wendy.
You know what? You're probably right. Everything will be jammed.
I know.
So what in case of an emergency?
I don't know.
No drones. Leave your drones at home.
Yep.
Give your drone a bone. No remote flying device. You can't bring your kite in, Bill. I'm sorry.
I thought this was America.
No firearms, explosives, and weapons. Can I just say duh to
that? That's number 8 on the list?
It's lower than that.
Would you put that as number 1?
No outside food or beverage, including alcohol of any kind. No pets except for service animals.
I wonder if that rule will be stretched just a little bit.
Yeah, because people are going to Amazon and buying a service dog vest for their dog.
No animals. How are the Arctic monkeys going to get in?
No skateboards, scooters, bicycles, wagons, carts, including Red Wagon. Sorry, Radio Flyer.
Oh, no.
Or any personalized motor vehicles, so you have to leave your scamp or what's it called at home.
Shoot. That's the fun. That's all the fun I have.
Here's what you can have. Strollers, binoculars, blankets, sheets, and towels, cameras, basic point-and-shoot, consumer-grade cameras, nothing professional.
Because every kid has one of those now.
GoPro mounts and other attachments are not allowed. But you can bring GoPro cameras without any accessories and sealed sunscreen lotion, no aerosol containers.
Oh. They're very adamant about the aerosol. That got more than one mention.
Well, it can explode.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about lighters?
Doesn't say on the list.
No, it doesn't. But you're not supposed to have your illegal drugs or cigarettes.
Right.
So what we need? Well, I guess for an encore.
Right.
But there's
you
an app
that.
For that. Mm-hmm. In case of emergency, Lollapalooza says they will once again be using their app to notify festival goers of changes. Remember the year it rained? Was that last year or 2 years
ago? A couple years ago, I think.
Was it Gaga? And then people were, there was a big storm that came in and people were moved over to the basement levels of several hotels nearby. Remember
that? Right, right.
I don't think there's supposed to be any storms. Audio announcements will be made at all stages and real-time updates, again, in case of an emergency, and Lollapalooza Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah.
Video screens at the main entrance, north entrance, and info tower near Buckingham Fountain will provide updates as well as the video screens. Do you think twice about it after what happened in Las Vegas and knowing that the guy who did that had booked a room very close to Lollapalooza, remember? I had just kind of forgotten about that till now.
I'm sure they're taking all that into account.
But are concert goers, is this preventing them? I bet not. We can't live in fear.
Right.
I did for a while after 9/11. I truly did. And now it's just like, you never know.
Well, as you and I have discussed in the past, with the things that have happened over the last couple of years, a lot of people are savvy to it. So what they'll do, and I've done this in places that seem like you're an enclosed place, is I just for myself, I look around and go, should something happen, there's an exit there, there, and there. Just keep that in mind. Don't dwell on it. Just always have it in the back of your head, you know?
But you know what? We should have been doing that in the past. We got complacent because there could be a fire at any time. Not terrorism,
yeah,
but there could be.
There's always something that could go wrong.
Yeah,
sure.
And I've never really paid attention when I'm at a movie to where the exits are. I mean, you kind of look, but now I seek it out and pay attention.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't hurt that we're getting better at this.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We certainly hope this goes off without any incident and that everybody has a good time. That's our goal. But without the Alberto VO5, Wendy, I don't know how they're going to possibly have a good time. I wouldn't. That's what's keeping me away.
Just keep your hat on.
Because I wanted to go to see Benny Goodman. Is he there this year? Is Benny Goodman going to be there? We'll take a quick break and then... Wendy, here's a story that both you and I heard early this morning on Steve Cochran's show. Steve Grzanich, the first to report this, and I assume that Steve Grzanich was making it up. But it turns out that it's real.
It sounded weird. It sounded like a story that, like, what? Who does that?
It's out of Atlanta. Health officials are reminding...
That's where the CDC is.
Yeah, in Atlanta, Georgia. Right. And the headquarters for Coca-Cola.
And Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And Weather Channel.
And Atlanta Braves Stadium. Health officials are reminding people that condoms are not reusable. The Centers for Disease Control, nicely done, Wendy, and Prevention tweeted on its sexually transmitted disease site. That's a site about sexually transmitted diseases. You don't get sexually transmitted
diseases. No, but don't follow it on Twitter because then people will think you have that.
Oh, right. Good point. That condoms are for single use. Officials say that they needed to tweet the message because people are washing or reusing condoms instead of throwing them away. We live in a very thrifty society, Wendy.
It says on there, there are like duh instructions on things. Like on a frozen pizza, it says cook this pizza.
Right.
Like, no kidding, it's frozen. What am I going to just bite into it?
Yeah. That's some serious recycling there.
And this is, I mean.
Even Judy Pilek, the goodbye girl, will tell you, because she loves to reuse things. But even she will tell you, and I've seen her speak at schools, they are for one use and one use only.
But it says it on there.
I know it does. I know it does.
And I mean, oh boy.
And we just assume, well, everyone knows this. Don't waste your ink. We know that it's just for one use. And yet, there are some people who don't know that. And I will list their names now. I will read you their names. The agency also says that condoms have expiration dates.
Yeah, because...
A lot of my friends in high school learned that the hard way.
That's not true.
Well, I've had this for 5 years. I got to get rid of it. Get another one now.
For 5 years, poor thing.
I know. The CDC... I said my friends. The CDC says...
Because rubber breaks down.
Yeah. Yep.
It does.
I know.
There's an expiration date on balloons, too.
Yes. So does vulcanized rubber. Mr. Spock's condom had to be... regenerated after 5 years. That was logical. The CDC says correctly using condoms can reduce but not eliminate the risk of sexually transmitted diseases. They can also protect against other diseases that may be transmitted through sex. Of course, I'm referring to the Zika virus.
Were you? I don't know when to believe you
anymore.
I was.
It's from the CDC. It's from Atlanta. So one time and one time only, Wendy. That's it.
A bill left with a condom story. I don't know how to take it.
I said friends of mine. Oh. I didn't say me.
No. Just you reading this little bulletin for everyone.
It's an important announcement. The kids are coming downtown for the Lala.
That's
I want
true.
Them to know you can't reuse. One and out.
And they're non-transferable.
Like, right. One and out, like Jay Cutler.
Don't.
All right. We'll take a quick break, then some news. And then Dean is at Lollapalooza. Is he performing? We don't know. We'll find out. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
This afternoon.
We're heading into a big afternoon in Chicago, a very controversial afternoon in Chicago. We'll talk about the Lakeshore Drive protest, and we'll have live reports.
Plus, Richard Roper reviews The Spy Who Dumped Me and the new Christopher Robin movie.
Catch the White Sox on 7:20 a.m. and hear our show live on the stream of the WGN radio app.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, streaming in real time at 3 and right after the Sox game on 7:20 WGN.
Tom, I'm having vanity issues.
Lindsay, the producer of the House Smart Show, has vanity issues?
Well, I want to remodel my bathroom and need a new vanity cabinet. That's why I'm here at the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom in your Builder's Supply Outlet.
No one has more vanities in stock. No one. Forget cheap particle board. We're talking all wood construction with full extension cushion closed drawers.
Wow, look at this beautiful vanity.
That's our 48-inch comfort height shaker vanity. Only $449.
And these tops come in so many colors.
We stock over 400 gorgeous granite and quartz vanity tops, all at true outlet prices.
Before you make a vanity purchase, make the drive to the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom in Builder Supply Outlet on Cermak Road in Broadview, or the newest location of the Edge on 151st Street in Orland Park.
High-end look without the high-end price.
The Edge
Kitchen and Bath Showroom
from Builder Supply Outlet.
Or visit edgekitchenandbath.com.
Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma. Get knowing.
It's August. Summer's almost over. And when I see that Walter E. Smith commercial, you know, the one with the dog floating in the pool, I think of two things. One, cooling off in that pool. Two, going to any Walter E. Smith and getting in on their Dog Days of Summer sale. You can get up to 25% off across the store, plus 12-month special financing on a Smith card. And as always, take advantage of their complimentary design service. Their expert designers will give you their expert opinions on what will work best in your space within your budget, and it's all included. So get up and head into any of the 10 Walter E. Smith Chicago area showrooms, or go online and start your project now at smith.com/designer. That's smithe.com/designer. Like the dog days of summer, this sale won't last forever. Get to Walter E. Smith today for up to 25% off. Walter E. Smith, Chicago's furniture store since 1945.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Dean is live in action from Lollapalooza 2018. The doors opened, I believe, just 40 minutes ago. Dean, are you okay?
You know what's really funny is the Arctic Monkeys, who are going to be headlining here today, they do a rockin' version of the Dean, Dean, Dean song that we start the segment with every week. And the fans out here have been telling me they can't wait to get into the mosh pit when that one comes on.
Pandemonium, Dean. Expect pandemonium.
Are they playing too?
Yeah, expect pandemonium will be there at 3 o'clock. So far, Dean, it's kind of, the crowds are just now filing in, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, well, the gates opened at 11 o'clock. Every year, they play the Star Wars theme. That's what the music that they used to open it up. And we got out here, to do our TV shots about 4 o'clock this morning. We were out here super early. And people were already lined up. They were, seated outside the gates waiting to get in. We talked with the very first people in line, who are here to see Travis Scott performing later tonight. I think like 7 o'clock tonight when he's performing. Their plan was to get into the park at 11 o'clock, be the first one in, run to the stage where Travis Scott is going to perform, and plant themselves and just stay there all day long.
Wow.
Because they want to be front row for Travis Scott.
Yeah.
But the gates are open. There's a huge influx right in the beginning. And there's still a very steady line of people coming up. It hasn't stopped at all. It's taking a little bit longer to get into the park because there's new security this year. There's airport-style security with, metal detectors that people have to go through. They have to empty out all water bottles. You can't bring any fluids whatsoever into the park. They are going through every single purse, bag. Only certain size knapsacks are allowed to go in the backpacks. So they're going through a lot this year. What was really interesting, about an hour and a half ago, we were inside the grounds where we were doing some reports this morning, and we saw probably 8 or 10 teams of police officers with what I assume are bomb-sniffing dogs even though not one person was inside the grounds yet, they were completely going over the entire Lollapalooza area with these bomb sniffing dogs just to make sure that nothing was out there, nothing had been buried. The security is unprecedented this year. And right now, I'm right on Michigan Avenue and Van Buren, right by the entrance gate. And I'm on the west side, the east side of the street, and looking at the west side where the Congress Hotel is and the Hilton and Roosevelt University and so forth. All these high-rises were told that there are police units scattered throughout these buildings looking down on the crowd, and snipers also in these buildings just to make sure everything stays safe and there's not a repeat of the tragedy that took place in Las Vegas a couple of years ago.
They're taking it very, very seriously. And previous years, Dean, you were the only one looking down on the crowds.
Well, in previous years, that's very true. We used to do our reports from the Congress Hotel, looking down
right
on the street. So, yes, in more ways than one. You know, number one, feeling superior to everybody,
yep,
and looking down on them, but also physically, just looking down on the crowds because, I mean, the crowds are overwhelming, and you know, it's not too bad. Everybody's, you know, pretty well behaved. It's still pretty early in the day, but I will share this with you that while we were standing here about 20 minutes ago, three young men who had bottles of some kind of beverage stood near a garbage can. You have to dump them into the garbage before you go into the ground. Instead of dumping them like everybody else was, these three guys chugged the beverages, chugged them, and then one of them, so it's like 10:30 in the morning, one of them has the most projectile vomiting that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Oh. So, happy Lollapalooza, everybody.
Something for everybody.
What about the fest wear? Have you found some of your favorite fest wear?
Not for Lollapalooza, per se, you know, because they're going to buy their fest wear when they go inside. I haven't even seen any, like, old Lollapalooza T-shirts or hats or anything like that. But people are very scantily clothed. It's going to be warm today. So, you know, people they're not wearing very much. Right now, there's an Abbey Road T-shirt walking by me right now.
Oh, impressive.
There's a U2. These are kids wearing this, too.
Yeah.
U2 is T-shirt is walking by me right now. Here's a young man that has mostly tattoos all over himself, but also wearing a Beastie Boys T-shirt.
What about the Mills Brothers, Dean? Are you seeing any Mills Brothers attire? Nothing?
I've not seen any Mills Brothers fans, but they're playing tomorrow. So
right.
It might be that the Mills Brothers fans. I will say this, and that I have noticed quite a few young ladies out here today wearing glitter makeup.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah,
you know, where it just like their whole body looks like glitter,
right?
And I got to think that's going to be difficult to get off later on.
Yes,
tonight.
And itchy. Wouldn't you imagine that to be a little itchy?
I don't think it's real glitter, guys. I think it's put in lotion,
right.
You know, it makes you glisten.
Oh, all right. Well, Dean, pick up a jar of that
for
me. Then
there's one right now where I can't even believe where she has the glistening going on.
Oh, all right. That's why Dean chose this assignment, Wendy.
Right.
Dean knows what he's doing.
I have said to myself privately many times already this morning, just to myself, seeing people walk by, does your father know you're dressed like that?
You should have a T-shirt that says that. All right, Dean, hold that thought. Dean Richards is live at Lollapalooza. We'll find out what movies are coming out this weekend. That's just moments away. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and I'm just curious because you said, or we read earlier, that no pets are allowed except therapy dogs.
Service animals.
Yes, so Bill wants to know how the Arctic monkeys will get in then. Dean?
I didn't hear what you say.
Oh, well, no pets are allowed unless it's therapy dogs or whatever, so Bill wants to know how the Arctic monkeys are going to get in.
Oh, I get it, because it's an animal group.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll make an exception. I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
So you'll have figure to it
excuse
out.
Excuse me for my disinterest.
Okay, no problem.
Well, no. It's not disinterest, but during that commercial break, several groups of people, I believe, may have been smoking the devil's weed.
Oh no, oh. Dean!
Outside the gates, because it's not allowed inside.
Yeah, outside the gates. I definitely detected the scent of the devil's weed. So if when one of you get a break, if you could send me over a 40-pound bag of Fritos, I'd really appreciate it.
All right, done. Consider it
contact
done.
Contact high.
Dean, you got to make a citizen's arrest. We can't have this going on at Lollapalooza.
I should have made a citizen's arrest. There are so many things I could have made citizen's arrest for out here today. Oh, you know, the kids are just having fun.
That's all it is.
It's just nothing but fun with the kids out here today.
Yeah, that's all it is. Don't worry. Dean, there's a bunch of
kids and Uncle Dean having to smell their pot.
That's what happens this time of year. There's a bunch of movies that look pretty good to me. Please tell me they are. What about Eighth Grade? Did you like it?
I actually loved Eighth Grade. That opened in Chicago two or three weeks ago in a few theaters. And this weekend it opens in many more theaters. But it's it's the story of a young girl who is in the final weeks of grammar school and how difficult it is just being an eighth grader, how difficult it is to be that age, the meanness of, you know, her fellow students, the changes, both physical and emotional that she's going through. It's a complete personality profile. And it's really well acted, and I am recommending it. I gave it a Dean's List B when it came out, so I really liked Eighth Grade. I have to say, a little bit disappointed in some of the other movies that are coming out this weekend, though. For example, the Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon movie, The Spy Who Dumped Me,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of like an espionage spoof slash comedy. I'm a huge Kate McKinnon fan. I love her on SNL. I love her in so many roles. I like Mila Kunis. I can't really say that there's anything that I especially disliked with her. But I think both of their talents are so wasted in this film. It's a story about how Mila Kunis' boyfriend, unbeknownst to her, turns out to be a CIA agent. She and her friend, Kate McKinnon's character, get caught up in a spy ring that takes them from being, you know, just average people to suddenly developing a set of spy skills that takes them all over the world. And the story just doesn't work. They try to cram so much into this movie. And the comedy moments seem frantic in this film. They just don't, you know, sometimes you just have to let the comedy breathe a little bit. And in this movie, they really don't. They really kind of shove it down your throat and force feed it to you. So unfortunately, I was a little disappointed. I wound up giving that Dean's List C minus. The other movie
good.
That the funniest things that you see in this movie are the things that you've seen in the commercial or the trailer. The movie I didn't think it's very disorganized and very scattered to me. I don't think it holds together. And I was really looking forward to Christopher Robin. I don't know how many times we've heard the Winnie the Pooh story and all the characters from Winnie the Pooh told. This has to be the fifth or sixth time, I would think, on big screen. But this time mostly told from the perspective of an adult Christopher Robin. The movie begins where you meet all the characters, Tigger and Pooh and so forth. And they're saying goodbye to young Christopher as he goes off to boarding school, and then the movie flashes back later in his life where he's an adult. He's got his own daughter. He's got tons of responsibilities. He's got all this work. And the movie really is about him balancing the pressures of his work life with kind of remembering all the beautiful things that were in his life as a child with all of the childhood characters that he grew up with. The movie is very nostalgic. It was wonderful to see all these characters again. It's a live animation combination of live action and animation. But I just don't know that this movie really offers you anything special. It's okay. I didn't think it was anything great. I was expecting something really sweet and emotional and a really nice, you know, life moral story, and we do not get it from Christopher Robin, so I wound up giving that one a Dean's List C. Oh.
Dean, you know what the premise reminds me of a lot is Hook.
Oh, the Peter
very
Pan?
Much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very much, the absolutely very much the case, and I'm not sure that that's what you want to be reminiscent of in any case, because... Hmm. You know, many of us remember that Hook movie as being not so strong.
Hmm. All right. But it's a similar premise of kind of a childhood animated Disney-type character who goes back once they become an adult to try to recapture the magic and whether or not they can pull it off. It's almost the same storyline, right?
It's practically the same storyline. I don't want to give away too much in it, but it's, yes, it's it flashes back. But he actually goes back to the forest. He winds up somehow back in the forest with the characters again, and you know, there is reminded of that life is more than just work. That life should be, you know, some play, and it should be a lot of nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
I just thought it was okay. You know, I'm a big sucker for nice emotional movies like that, and I don't think that we got it at all. Christopher Robin. Yeah. Grumpy old Uncle Dean.
What about
Lala
right now being creepy? What about The Darkest Minds? What can you tell us about this?
Darkest Minds. I did not screen. I did not see that. I know it's a teen thriller. I know that it's a movie that is set in a world where about 95% of the children in the world are killed. The survivors are all put in sort of concentration camp-like settings, and anyone who tries to escape is hunted down like a dog. Oh. That's all that I know of the description of the movie. But I was not able to see that one this week, and... not able to give you anything except a description. It's PG-13, so it can't be that violent or that.
They get a harsher rating. Dean, isn't it interesting that out of the four movies that are coming out this week, two of them are written and directed by women, but the movie that's about an eighth grade girl is not written or directed by a woman. It's by a guy.
Written by a guy, absolutely. I found that very interesting.
Huh.
I found it interesting, especially that this The Spy Who Dumped Me, the Kate McKinnon and Mila Kunis film, which, you know, has two extremely strong female actresses in the leads, directed by a woman, would fail so miserably in conveying that side of the story. You would think that they would try to make a more female-centric version of traditional spy films. In something like this, which has also been done. Melissa McCarthy, did something like that a couple of years ago. But it's just very interesting to me how that one is a failure. And this movie, Eighth Grade, about the little girl, which is a really very a sweet portrait of what it's like to be that age, is so well done and so incisive. Man, it sure made me glad that I'm not that age anymore. Just mostly reminded me how much I hated being that age,
right?
And how awful it was. The movie really, gets that across.
That's Dean Richards. He's at Lollapalooza. You can find him between the metal detectors and the heavy metal detectors. Thanks, Dean.
Hey, Bogart those movie reviews.
No.
How long are you staying today, Dean?
I'll be here for a couple of more hours.
Fun.
We have a couple more reports here to do today, and actually, you know what? I'm going to be at Ravinia tonight.
Last
night I was there. They showed the E.T. the Extraterrestrial with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra playing the score live.
Cool.
And tonight they're doing it with Raiders of the Lost Ark. So we have a nice little pre-show discussion with the crowd there on stage. And then people enjoy the movie and the music, and it's a really nice time. So if anybody wants to do something pretty fun tonight, come on out to Ravinia.
Dean, thanks so much. Have a good time there.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. All right, can we check in with Steve Bertrand, host of the Wintrust Business Lunch? Wendy and I will be headed toward the stream. We will do another hour on the stream. We would love to have you. Or here, if you want to keep it right here, Steve's got the Wintrust Business Lunch. Steve, are you there?